From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. I don't need no part-time love. Got no room for... There's a frequency rising from the depths of our collective consciousness, a sound that doesn't just move through speakers, it moves through your spirit. In this dialogue, we're tuning into something deeper than melody, richer than rhythm. We're witnessing the evolution of Black musical expression in real time. From Atlanta's Concrete and Cosmos comes Earth Gang, Olu and Dr. Dot, two architects of Afrofuturism who've taken the blueprint of Outkast and the Dungeon Family, and they've built something entirely new. Their music is rebellion wrapped in revelation, Southern swagger steeped in cosmic wisdom. When they speak of Perfect Fantasy, their latest album, they're not escaping reality, they're reimagining it, demanding space for Black excellence to live without apology or explanation. And from the ethereal landscapes of contemporary R&B emerges the group Bathe, Corey Smith West and Devin Hobdy, weaving sonic tapestries that feel like golden honey poured over velvet dreams. Their latest offering, an album called Inside Voices, doesn't just invite you to listen. It invites you to inhabit worlds where Black love, peace, and contemplation aren't luxuries. They are our birthrights. Throughout this episode, you're hearing young Black artists refusing to be confined by genre, by expectation, by the narrowing corridors that the industry has built. Earth Gang asks us to imagine Black people free, not just in fantasy, but in the futures we're actively creating. And Bathe reminds us that vulnerability is strength, that softness is revolutionary, and that that inside voice, the one that whispers all of our deepest truths, deserves amplification. The future of Black music expression is here, and it sounds like freedom. Corey Smith West and Devin Hobdy, also known as Bathe, thank you so much for joining me. The two of you first met in college, and from there your sound has just developed along with yourselves over the past few years and really just stepping fully into who Bathe is today. What has the evolution been like for your guys' artistry and yourselves as a duo now?
I feel like our sound and our journey is inextricably linked with our friendship. Like Dev is my best friend in the world, like future best man at my wedding. And I think we've learned to become better partners as we've learned to be like better friends. I think like as we've learned to become better listeners to each other and like the people we love, I think we've gotten better at listening to each other in a creative capacity. As we've gotten more patient as friends, we've gotten more patient as artists. And I think, yeah, I feel like it'd be pretty, I feel like that's the best way for me to frame it. Like, I feel like as our relationship has deepened, our creative partnership is like deepened. And even now I feel like we're in this era of like working on other projects and like trying to broaden the scope outside of Bathe. And as a friend, I'm just like, every single time Devin shows me something that he has anything to do with, I'm just like super excited. So I feel like, you know, like every chapter is kind of like a chapter for our friendship.
The music industry is constantly changing, and at times it could be overwhelming, even a bit toxic. You both are two young Black artists rising in this music scene, and it's definitely a tight-knit community of young, talented, melanated artists. How do you all see the rise of young artists currently, not really having to label themselves or define or explain who they are or what their sound is, but really just showing up as exactly as who you are, because both of you are really doing that and showing that you can just show up fully, authentically yourself in your sound?
Yeah, I think community is the big word here. And I don't mean community in the annoying sense that it's like taken on where it's just a bunch of people that you like. I think that like being surrounded by so many different musicians with different interests that are coming from completely different backgrounds, social status, different, I don't know, just like from so many different milieus, like it kind of forces you to just like adapt all these different like maybe musical inclinations or genres or like ways of existing in spaces that maybe you don't gravitate towards naturally. And I think that like that lends itself to people developing this sort of genrelessness, right? Like you're just surrounded by so many people. Like I said, so many different people. I think it just becomes sort of second nature to sort of like take the little bits here and there that you like from a show that you sent. Like I think when we were younger, there was this band called Lorraine who we kind of just like stumbled into their orbit. And they play like some of the most experimental, like genre, like boundary pushing music that I've ever heard in my life. And it wasn't something that I think I would have like gravitated towards naturally, but because I was surrounded by people that were sort of like my community was just sort of urging me in this direction, I think you sort of naturally develop this affinity for genrelessness. And I think yeah, I think I have nothing but community to thank for our development as artists. Our taste. And I'm so excited to see what like our little Brooklyn community is gonna produce next. Like there's some artists named like Lobo that I'm really excited about. Corey worked on Halima's album. These are names that I'll send later, but just really excited for what's coming up and what's next.
I feel like just to add, I feel so much gratitude for the people that came before us because I think that they really paved the road in a time where people were way less open-minded about alternative sounds and ways of being and identities. And I feel like so much what we're doing now is because people like Prince, people like Shuggie Otis, people like Little Beaver, who a lot of the times did not get their flowers the way that they should have at the time, like laid the groundwork to create a time when people like Steve Lacy can have like a number one song on Billboard and like it's commonly accepted for a queer Black artist to just be singing about their life and people of all backgrounds are open and receptive to it. So I feel like I definitely can't take that for granted because I feel like they did a lot of the heavy lifting to open the doors for artists like us.
You've both said that you describe wanting to create albums that feel like worlds that you can live in. And your music really feels like that. You just take us into this velvety, shimmering sonic universe. And sometimes it's like dipped in a shoreline of the ocean, or it feels like just golden honey. When you guys get together and you just start cooking it up in the lab, what is that experience like when you both intentionally just lock in and really enter that sacred space of creating sound?
I think that might be my favorite question that's ever been asked in an interview to us. I'm like, well, I hope my answer can go as hard as that question. Honestly, I feel like it's different every time, but I think the unifying thing is I always want, there's three things I always want to feel when I'm creating. I think number one is just this feeling of like childlike excitement. Like I feel like when I was 14 making beats in the basement after school, there was just like you put two sounds together and you're just like, oh my gosh. And just that you just feel like that feeling of you look up and it's been like 3 hours and you don't know where the time went. I think number two for me is just like seeing a scene in my head. I kind of feel like every song is a soundtrack to an emotion or a memory. But the fun part of music is like if you instill your memories into a song, it'll elicit something completely different in someone else. You know, like if you really make something that feels vivid to you, it'll be hopefully vivid for someone else, but they'll be seeing something completely different. So I'm always thinking about in my head, like, what time of day is the song? Like, what colors? What scene? What is the song the perfect soundtrack for? And I think the third thing, when you're just like collaborating, is I feel like there's always just like this feeling like you're watching someone do magic because you know the skills that you're good at and the things you've taken time to learn, like playing the guitar or producing or music theory. But like especially when you're collaborating, there's always those skills or those talents that someone else has that you don't. So sometimes, like watching Dev come back with like a lyric, I'm just like, oh, how did you think of that? Or with a harmony, or with, you know, his own, like, yo, I did the drums for this part. And you're just like, dude, how did you think of this stuff? And I feel like those are the three most salient things I'm always fishing for, just like seeing the soundtrack, feeling excited, and just like having a front row seat to someone that you respect, like doing the craft on a level that seems like it sh like shouldn't be real. You know what I mean? So
And I think the only thing I'd add is just that, like, there's a lot of just throwing stuff at the wall. Like, you're just throwing all the paint colors at the wall, seeing what, and then, like, one day you look up and you're like, oh, that actually is depicting something that I kind of like it clicked. And I think that that, like, is a process. Yeah, it's kind of a process of, like, humility, because sometimes you're just at the mercy of whatever, you're at the mercy of the universe, to be completely honest with you, most of the time. So.
speaking of worlds that we can live in, your latest project, Inside Voices, was released this year, 2025. Congratulations. You guys touch on growth, fate, the everyday rat race, taking vacations, or just going into worlds of beautiful shores and warm waves, or just to a place that is sweeter. I want to dive into this project with you guys, and you take us through feelings, you take us through emotions and spaces. Tell us a little bit about Inside Voices.
I was gonna let you hit it, Corey, but I think Inside Voices is, we like to say that it's a story of two parts. I think the world of the first half is this sort of brighter, sunnier world where, yeah, we're talking about, like, you know, the stresses of everyday life, but I think there's a general sort of optimism underneath it. There's like this expectation that, yeah, things might not be okay right now, but they're going to be okay in a little bit. And then I think side B is where we sort of take a, I wouldn't, darker maybe isn't the right term, but things take a more serious turn, right? We're talking about, like, grief. We're talking about realize the perils of being a Black man in contemporary society. There's talk about, like, family relationships and some of the grief that we've had, you know, dealing with family members that we've loved passing away. And so I think the what unifies the two worlds is this sort of, like, desire to explore emotion in music, especially in R&B music, beyond, like, love and, I don't know, some of the topics that people tend to associate with the genre. I think there was this real desire to really, like, speak to and tell the stories that we've wanted to tell in our personal lives, and the stories that some of our friends have, like, trusted us enough to confide in us. So.
I think the simplest way that I think about it, I kind of feel like it's just like a stream of consciousness album. I think it's just like these are all the themes and the emotions are kind of themes and emotions that could happen in an afternoon, just being like a young Black creative person in Brooklyn. And I think it's just like in the same way that, you know, you're on the bus and your headphones die and you just are lost in thought and you're just going wherever the wind carries you. I kind of feel like that's how we wanted the album to feel. And I definitely think, yeah, like the first side is a little bit sunnier and the second side is a little bit more contemplative. But I think even in the way that the songs are structured, it all feels very like, I don't know, it almost feels like trying to stay true to that feeling of just like being spacing out or daydreaming and just like letting your emotions wash over you. And I think even like to me, songs like Fields feel like a, you know, like a memory or like looking back at a time, and then certain songs like Capsize feel very visceral. But I feel like that's how I, you know, our studio, that the main studio we work out of is in Greenpoint, and I live in Bed-Stuy. For the non-New Yorkers, that's like an hour on the bus, and I've definitely had more times than I care to admit where like I haven't charged my AirPods or I've forgotten my headphones or like my phone dies, and so I just have to sit on that bus and just look out the window and just like be in my thoughts. And I kind of feel like the album, when you listen to it from top to bottom, kind of just feels like that.
I know you guys briefly mentioned just kind of giving honor and gratitude to people and the other Black musicians who've came before you and really paved the way. What responsibility do you feel, maybe in regards to just larger Black musical traditions or legends that have come before you while also forging your own path?
our responsibility is to be honest to our experiences, because there's nothing gained by us pretending that we're people that we're not, and by, you know, putting forth a lifestyle that we're just objectively not living. I also think that like naming our influences as often as possible and just like being like honest about who we're getting the juice from is something that's really important, because this thing happens in Black music especially, where like someone gets like deemed the, I don't know, the owner of a particular sound, and then the buck stops with them, and then no one does like any digging and finds that Frank Ocean was actually inspired by Marvin Gaye, was actually inspired by, right? Like I think that that's an important part of like, you know, keeping those very important lines of like musical connection alive, especially in Black music.
I was just going to say, trying to make the next person's life a little bit easier, like literally, I think not gatekeeping. I think if we see an opportunity to pay somebody, which you like a fair rate, even if it's going to cut into your, you know, be your overhead. Like, I feel like, yeah, like, you know, like just on a very literal level, any chance you get when you see someone who is in a spot you were in and they're trying to get to the next level, I think just going the extra mile to, you know, even just like going out to coffee with people and just sharing your experience with them one-on-one, like, you know, because a lot of our heroes were like, I'll never get the chance to meet Curtis Mayfield, you know, but when I met Van Hunt, he was so lovely. Like that dude went out of his way to like take the time to like, dude, he was super chill. And at the time, that was so motivating and inspiring to me. So like, I think it's just passing the baton on, like in a very literal sense.
So you guys are going on tour. Woo! What is the intention to connect with your audience, to just give them maybe a nostalgic memory or a new feeling, emotion, or just what do you want for them to receive in some of these upcoming performances that you guys have?
So there's a question we always ask. I think it's right at the top of the show. And I know it's going to sound silly. It's going to sound like trite or whatever, but like, to me, it's really important. And I ask like, are y'all down to have like a little bit of fun for this show? Because I feel like oftentimes, especially as like an opener, on your side, right, it feels like, oh, I'm going into uncharted territory with people who might not have completely bought in. And so I need to give myself and permission to have fun on stage, because this could be absolutely terrifying, right? Like under any other context, that is a completely terrifying thing to do. But then for the crowd, it's just like, yo, like, I want y'all to know that like, hey, we're not just like, we're not just like set dressing. We're not like, you know, just like mood music. We're here to actually engage with you. And we want this to be something that you remember, and that we want you to take home things from this. We're going to talk to you throughout the show. We're going to ask you questions. We want you to actually sit with some of the themes of the songs that we're talking with. And so I think setting the intention of this being like a dialogue between crowd and performer is really important to me, because like, I can't give it if I don't get it. You feel me? Yeah.
I'd say just being fully present. I think it's, you know, when you're really deep into a tour, you're doing the same thing every night. Sometimes you catch yourself playing off of muscle memory. And I think trying to wake up and just really be there and be with everyone. I think that, you know, so you can meet everybody where they're at. I think ultimately that's the biggest thing I try to think about in regards to like playing shows. And I think that extends to like meeting people afterwards. Like I really enjoy standing by the merch booth and like chatting with everyone. I think like just making sure you don't get into automaton mode where you're just like not really there. You're just trying to really be there, you know?
Babe, thank you so much. Corey Smith West and Devin Hobdy, it was an honor to speak with you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Kenny.
Some artists don't enter the room, they erupt into it. Atlanta's own Earth Gang is that kind of force. Olu and Dr. Dot. Two MCs with the spirit of Dungeon Family and the soul of Afrofuturism in their DNA. Together, they bend sound, style, and expectation, crafting music that's part prophecy and part turn up. From protests to planets, from funk to philosophy, Earth Gang doesn't just make music, they build worlds. Worlds where Black existence is the revolution, where Southern swag meets cosmic vision. Their work is a kaleidoscope, wild, grounded, spiritual, and unrelenting. And today, I am grateful to be with Earth Gang. Olu and Dr. Dot, thank you so much for being here with me.
That was like a Shannon Sharp intro. That was
what an introduction.
To think that this all started with two young men in high school with a dream, you found a musical bond that just connected you two through time and space. How have you both really nurtured and sustained that connection? And also, when did you know that you just understood each other's musical language?
Man, you gotta understand, we was in school, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia, in the early 2000s, and it wasn't a lot of people with a lot of like super expanded musical taste.
Yeah.
Now we did, because we came up on like pirated music, you know what I'm saying? We came up like in late elementary, in the middle school, we was doing like LimeWire and stuff like that. So like we stole a lot of music, and that, just by doing that, expanded our taste, you know what I'm saying? We got to high school, we was the two guys that was into rock, that was into the soul, that was into the old stuff. You know what I'm saying? He might pull up to school, or we might pull up to school playing Nina Simone. Loud as hell through the parking lot, though. Like, not bashful about it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, the musical bond will always be there, just off the strength of, like, we appreciate music at a very, like, subatomic level, you know what I'm saying?
And even with like, our upbringing from, like, our parents and stuff, and, like, the stuff that they put us on to before we got a chance to even start pirating, you know what I'm saying? It's like, they will always challenge us and encourage us to explore beyond what we saw, beyond our surroundings and beyond our environment.
So now that you both have just continued to discover your sound throughout childhood, throughout high school, and now where you are today, and y'all just been cooking in the lab, bringing out heat with all these albums, since the beginning of Earth Gang, what have you guys been playing around with sonically that has now become the patented sound of Earth Gang that we know and love today?
I think we both do a considerable amount of different voices. And I think that's not something you see a lot of in today's music. You see a lot more with, like, you know, them old cats back in Wu-Tang. Danny Brown did it really well during his, like, peak of doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, we do, like, we both can, like, sound a lot of ways. We kind of adjust the approach to the song, where a lot of artists just kind of make something. They just lay the vocals over a beat. We kind of, like, flow within the beat, you know what I'm saying? We kind of, like, become one with the beat.
We took a lot of musical influences from, like, rock and roll artists and underground rock and roll artists when we come up, when we first started. So I think a lot of our sound has that unpolished, you know what I'm saying, like, real raw, passionate sound to it, you know, where you could hear the imperfections and the, you know what I'm saying?
You might hear somebody talking in the background.
Yeah, like, you might hear something fall or something.
Yeah, chair move.
That shit's on beat. So it's like all of those small things that you can't recreate, you know, we poured that into the music also. I pray someday you find what you need in this lifetime.
I was thinking about one of your EP titles, RIP Human Art and Robophobia. And with so much AI music groups out right now, it really can bury real artists, or at the very least, make it difficult for true artists to get recognized. And I love what you guys have done. You've really just combated that agenda with your artistic trilogy. What does this war look like for Earth Gang versus the Algorithm series? How do you draw your battle plans?
I think what we were trying to do a lot with the series was not just, you know, it's not necessarily just a call to war. It's really more a call to thought. You know, we want people to just, like, take in what this means, you know what I'm saying? Decide what to do with it for yourself. And, you know, history will decide who chose right. But, you know, just take in, just really think about it and really, like, you know, it's to make people question what's happening right now. Not necessarily, you know, telling people how to work or how to think or how to do anything. If AI is your bag, AI is your bag. You know what I'm saying? We'll see how we land. But like, automated machines also make food that's gross. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like people that like when you get to a certain level of life, you want something that's good, that tastes good, that's been cooked, that's been, you know what I'm saying? It's been heated. The heat has come from fire, and the fire makes it stay warm longer. You know what I'm saying? I remember our engineer Mez, he's Cole's engineer. He used to say, whenever we make stuff, he'd be like, if you microwave it, anytime you put some food in the microwave, it gets cold just as fast. The cheese get hard, whatever's on, you know what I'm saying, gets crusty. You make something on the stove, that heat is just gonna last longer. It's gonna be a warm plate for a longer time. So I think our goal is to just make a good warm plate for folks.
To fully squeeze out the human experience
Yeah.
in everything we do, you know, like, I mean, as you can create the best, smartest, what's the word? All the things that you could put into a robot, you know, or
Right.
to AI, but you can't put a soul into it, you know. So as long as we keep putting our soul into the music in whichever way, like that's all we ask for.
It's obvious that advanced technologies can consume our lives in different ways, but you guys, in a lot of your work, you kind of dream of this alternate universe where we are all living freely. And do you think that Black people can only be free in a fantasy that we create for ourselves?
Man, you just went crazy with that question.
Yeah,
What the
you
hell?
snap, you snap, you
Do you
snap,
think Black
you
people can
snap.
only be free in the Matrix? Black people gonna be free on The Sims? I
Yeah.
don't
Nah,
know.
you're right though,
It's crazy.
because I mean, freedom is the ability to create your world and to
Yeah.
be responsible for the world that you create. And a lot of times, you know, we just existing in somebody else's world. You know, I feel like
Yeah.
so many generations of us
And
have
even if
just
that's not the case, we
existed
feel
in
like we do.
somebody. Yeah, I mean, that's all that matters, because if you feel
Yeah.
like it, then you go move like
That's
it.
what it is.
So it's like you're taught that you exist. I mean, we've been taught this, that we exist in the white man's world, you know,
Yes.
or we exist in a rich man's world,
Yeah.
or for women, you exist in a man's world, you know. So it's like you have to create your fantasy of what you really want to live and how you want to live, and that's true freedom.
After reinventing at every turn, what vision do you all hold for Earth Gang's music as the world continues to shift as you go on tour? What is the world that you both are dreaming of with every album, every beat, every verse?
Dream of a world. A dream of a world where the art is appreciated for what it is, for the truth in it, for the authenticity of it, for the flaws. I dream of a world. I mean, I don't even know if this is necessarily a dream more than it's a prediction. I think the value of the flaw is increasing right before our eyes because of so much automation, because of so much I'll say numerical perfection, because it's not even necessarily perfect. It's perfect to who, right? But like, I think the value of the flaw is increasing. So I dream of a world where it's okay to embrace what somebody considers to be a flaw and make that the perfection.
I dream of a world where storytelling is valued just as much as the lives that tell the stories. I think as human beings, we have devalued storytelling, you know, and how much it cultivates like just human evolution and survival, you know, like that's some of the most important lessons you learn in life have been told through stories. And you know, I think we downplayed that because of how much information is readily available. But you can, you know, like ask ChatGPT a question and it'll give you the answer, but it's not the same as like having a story told to you by your grandmother while she does your hair, or you know what I'm saying, like going fishing or going on a road trip with your partner and they tell you a story of like what's going on, and you're like, damn, that really changed my life. So that's the world that I dream of and how we create.
Earth Gang, Olu, and Dr. Dot, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank
Appreciate
you
you.
so much.
Thank you. The new sound of Black music is unapologetically complex, spiritually grounded, and sonically limitless. It carries a coded DNA while speaking to the frequencies that have not been discovered yet. Groups like Bathe and Earth Gang are documenting a movement and preparing us to enter sonic sanctuaries. For Dialogue, I'm Kennedy Vincent.